Our lesson this morning is recorded in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians in the fourth chapter. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This is our lesson. Dear friends, in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Yesterday, the fifth Sunday in Lent, Judica, was also the day of the Annunciation. Since we observe our Lord's birth on December 25th, it's most natural that we observe March 25th to commemorate the day when the angel Gabriel told Mary that she would conceive in her womb the Promised One, the Son of the Most High God, who would save his people from their sins. Now, if you stop and think about it, it might have made at least as much sense that the Christian church would hold its highest celebration not on December 25th, but on March 25th. For that is when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. There is the beginning, in time, of our redemption, when God became man in order to be our Savior. At least March 25th should be as significant as December 25th. Now, in the series of readings that our church uses, this festival of the Incarnation, the Annunciation, is celebrated on the fifth Sunday in Lent. And that simply is because, at least on the first level, because March 25th occurs very frequently in either the week before or right after that. And in that way, attention is given to this important proclamation every single year, always quite close to the Holy Week of his suffering and death. But that draws us to another very important connection. It draws together the two great festivals of our Lord's life and work, his birth and his crucifixion. And that leads us to this theme, that the cradle of his birth and the cross of his crucifixion are cut from the very same tree. Now, we don't intend that to be taken in a literal sense. That would claim too much even for the greatest allegorists. But it is one of those metaphors that cuts through everything else and gets down to the very heart of what St. Paul is talking about in our text from Galatians. God sent forth his Son to redeem those who were under the law. What is that tree from which is cut the wood, both of the manger in which Christ was born and the cross on which he was crucified and tortured to death? That was the tree in the garden of which God said, "You shall not eat of it." Eve did eat of it, seduced to it by the serpentine prince of darkness, and Adam did eat of it, given it by Eve. And in that way, Adam and Eve became slaves of sin and of death and bound by the law of condemnation. That was a law, a proclamation, that could show no hope and could make no promises, but could give only condemnation. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. And they did die in heart and in soul and in will. And that's the tree from which it starts. But it's finished, isn't it? In the manger and the cross, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Powerful words, those were, that came from the angel Gabriel. Not powerful simply because they were astounding, but in those words, God's Holy Spirit worked exactly what the words promised. In Mary's womb, the eternal, almighty God, the Son, the Logos, is made human flesh. He becomes man. God incarnate, God enfleshed, born a man, born of a woman. And that's the astounding miracle that only faith can know and grasp. Conceived in Mary's womb, he comes out of Mary's womb 9 months later as a normal child, subject to all of the cruelty of a world infected by sin, including all of its temptations and all of the temptations that you face every day. And yet, cradled in that manger, cut from the tree of the garden, is God, the creator of the universe, cradled as a helpless child. He's destined for a life of suffering, its apex on that other piece of tree of man's sin and shame, the cross. From his childhood, he bears the sin of us all as the greatest sinner of all time. As St. Paul says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. And on the cross, he bears the focus of all of God's wrath over sin, so that it is as a magnifying glass focuses the heat of the sun into a tiny burning point, God's wrath standing over all of human history and all of human sin is focused into one powerful burning point on his Son. And as contrary to human judgment as it may be, there on that cross, as man under the law, because of the first tree, God is revealed there in all of his glory in the crucifixion of the Son of God. For his glory is to be found alone in his grace, the grace that by God's Spirit opens my lips to cry out to God, Abba, Father. Father, dearest Father. From the tree of Eden, God has had mercy on us. From the manger in which the incarnate one was born, to the cross on which that incarnate one suffers and dies, in that we are redeemed. We are sons, that is, we are heirs of God. Thanks be to God for the great mercy that he has shown us. Amen. Let us please turn to page 153 in the forepart of the hymnary. And we join in praying together collect number 50 for Annunciation. Let us all rise. O Almighty God, of your great mercy, you caused your Son to be conceived by the Holy Spirit and to become incarnate of the Blessed Virgin Mary, according to the angel's annunciation. Grant us by your grace that our sinful conception may be purified by his holy conception, through the same your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.